And I'm going to tell you some of the ways that he has taught me in my own experience about his love. But I got to read this lyric. I'm a lyric guy, made my living for 35 years off of song lyrics. It's from that old hymn, The Love of God, talking about the dimensions of God's love. I just wrote down one verse. Wonderful word picture. This was the lyric. These lyrics were found on the wall of a monk. They're really old. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made? Were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That is so eloquent. Get every human, cut every stock on earth, make a pen out of it, fill the ocean full of ink. Okay, everybody, write about how big God's love is. I'm going to run out of paper. I'm going to run out of ink. It's way bigger than that. And then he says the most astonishing thing. He says, I want you to know this love, which surpasses knowledge. This is what I'm praying for you. If you thought you were going to come to a church where you could just dabble your tippy toes in the shallow end and come and go as you please, it's too late. I already love you. And this is what I'm praying for, and I'm not going to stop. I still pray it for people who left because they're mad at me. Too late. I already love them. So understand Paul's prayer. To know this love. Gnosko is the verb. And later in the sentence, the word that surpasses knowledge, that's the word gnosis. Both have a silent, well, gnosis has a silent G, G-N-O-S-I-S. Of the several Greek words for knowing, it's the word of knowing by experience. To know this love, and once again, the Amplified Bible says practically, through experience, for yourselves. Not from a distance, not because you read a good book, not because you got the tingles and you felt loved. Here's the thing, I'll pass this on to you. I often have come to know God's love better when I'm naughty. Remember Lily's favorite song when she was a little girl? Lily's favorite song was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. A lot of Christians don't know the second verse to that. It is, Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. But Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. Let me tell you a story. This last week, my kitty, who lives to escape the confines of my house, he lives for it. His little kitty mind burns calories, looking for a weakness in my parameters. Well, this last week, he escaped. Ever since I moved into this house, which is right on Route 32, people speed past my house. I live on 6.5 acres filled with pet predators. I hear them. I see them. There's a reason why I'm trapped him in the house. Plus, he's 14 years old. He doesn't have the skills he used to. But he escaped. And for an entire day and an entire night, I couldn't sleep. I had cramps in my heart. I was worried about him. I stayed awake as long as I could that night. I stayed awake till midnight, and finally I'm old, so I had to crash. And I crashed, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I left the door open, by the way. Which, when you live in the woods, is maybe not such a great idea, but I woke up to the most horrible skunk smell, and my first thought was, oh no, Skunky has walked in and is helping himself to the kitty food. So I got up, I grabbed my shotgun, I don't know what I was thinking, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Trust me, you don't want to shoot a skunk in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I walk into the living room, and there's my kitty boy lounging on my big, soft, fluffy couch. And the skunk smell is him. You know what I did? I was so glad he was not dead. I was so glad he was there. I ran over. I picked him up. I got skunk smell all over him. And I snuggled him, and I said very undignified things to him. Closed the door so I couldn't do it again. Went back to sleep, and the next morning I'm sitting there. My whole house smells like skunk. I smell like skunk. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, Bob, I just showed you. You didn't realize it at the time, but I just showed you the way that I feel about you when you come to me with your stinky sin. He says, I don't care how stinky you are. I don't care if you get it all over me. I'm just glad you came home. And something happened in my head. I've taught the story of the prodigal son 100 times. No exaggeration. I know God loves me theologically. I know the Bible says it. But he did something to me. He let me feel what he feels toward my son. Stinky as he was, I didn't care. I started caring later. I just want to get that smell out of my immaculate house. But you know what? For that moment, when he came home, that's all I cared about. Folks, that's what it means to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. It means to know it in your own experience. I've always been envious of people who have children, because you have the perfect opportunity of understanding some things about God that those of us who don't have children can't ever fully understand. You understand things about unconditional love. And often those lessons, they go right over our heads. Let me just ask you a question. I'll ask you a question that George MacDonald asked somebody who was having trouble understanding God's love. He took a different tack because he knew these people were good parents and they loved their children. He says, do you think that God's love is less loving than your love for your children? We would be insulted if somebody insinuated that. But God is he's the originating fountain of all love, the very best parent love in the world, unpolluted by selfishness, comes from him. He loves your kids more than you do. And it's real love. It's not theological love. He's not, you know, equivocating, saying, okay, let's see, now am I a Calvinist or am I an Arminian, you know, and, you know, did I choose them or did I not? He just loves them. He loved the whole world enough to send Jesus. Nobody made him any promises. People were making bad choices. The world was filled with sin. Paul says, I want you to know in your own experience, personally, practically, this love of God which surpasses knowledge. How can you know something by experience that surpasses knowing it by experience? It's real simple. However much you know it now, there's more to know. However much you love him now, you barely know him. However much you think he loves you now, he loves you more than that. It's a constant and daily revelation of that. And I would have to say, when I smell like a skunk and he still runs to me, he still rejoices over me. I understand it in a different way than I do when I've been a good little boy. You know what I mean? I know you do. I know you love your kids that way. Yeah, you're irked. Yeah, you want to paddle their little behinds. Yeah, you want to, you know, and you have to run outside and go, ah! You know, because you just don't want to unload and then fry their eyeballs, you know, face to face. But bottom line is, when they come home, you're glad they're home. So that, all of this, so that you may be filled, I'm going to read this slowly because this is just such a huge sentence, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What does it mean, filled to the measure? I have a sneaking suspicion we will not get verse 20 today. We'll have to do it next week. That's okay. It deserves a whole study all by itself. I'll give you a few hors d'oeuvres today because I've still got 10 more minutes. What does it mean to be filled to the measure of something? It means if you've got a two-cup measuring cup, Pyrex measuring cup like I do, or if you've got a 5.6-gallon tank in your car like my Mini does, it means you go all the way to the top of whatever that measure is. You know what I'm saying? It's a no-brainer. So what does it mean? God's saying, Paul's saying, I want you to be as filled up with as much of God as there is God to fill up. That's the measure. All the fullness of God. What does the word all mean? It means all. He says, I want you to be absolutely, completely clear, full of God. Are you? Am I? No. One of the things that happened that day in Beverly Hills, laying on the floor, one of the things God did to remodel my house is he said, son, we're going to have to enlarge my place in this house. I'm not going to fit on the couch. If I'm going to do all the stuff I want to do, we're going to have to bust out some walls. I'm going to just need a bigger place. And you know what? 41 years later, he's still enlarging his place in my life. And you know what he does when he enlarges his place in your life? He fills that too. Pretty soon you're spiritually like the Pillsbury Doughboy because you're just completely inflated, busting at the seams. Which brings me to my dream, and I'll close with this. And we'll pick up verse 20 next week. I had just come from, it might have even been this very study. I just came from Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa from the Sunday night study, and Pastor Chuck was teaching in Ephesians and talking about the filled to the measure of the fullness of God, and I sort of fell asleep thinking about, man, I wonder what that looks like. We had wonderful worship at that church. It was very simple. We didn't have even any instruments. Just 5,000 voices singing with all their hearts to the Lord. It was beautiful and it was sweet, and I'd never experienced anything like it. I grew up in a church with the hoop-de-doo, rowdy, you know, make lots of noise, dance around kind of worship, and that's okay. But this was just different. Sometimes sitting in worship, I would feel so full that I thought it was going to explode. When I first started going there, I would have to leave. I would have to go outside and go, and because I just felt so full, I couldn't stand anymore. Well, in my dream that night, I was worshiping with some people, and I started feeling full like that. And I just got fuller and fuller and fuller and fuller, and I exploded. And when I exploded, it was like a scene that I saw in Star Trek one time, when a Klingon battle cruiser exploded and each of the little particles of that flew off in slow motion. Billions and billions and billions of little particles, totally obliterated, flying off into space. Now, in my dream, every one of those particles of my body were all going, yes! It was like it's like my body got to do the thing it needed to do. And I woke up going, and 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting on my bed and I'm thinking, wow, what was that? And God spoke to my heart and he said, son, this is why you're going to need a new body. Because this is what's going to happen when I finally give you as much of me as I want you to have. That's profound. I couldn't have thought that up. I didn't eat anything weird before bed. I went to bed thinking about God in his fullness. And of course, it makes me feel cheap and distracted when I think of how little bit of God I let him have. I know some people, it's too much of God to ask for 2 hours a week of their time. That's an imposition. You know what I mean? I used to be there. I'm kind of in this place now. I don't have a lot of time left in my life. Who knows what's going to happen in this world, and none of us know we have tomorrow. So I'm with Paul. I just want to be as filled up with God as he wants to fill me. I realize that some walls might have to come down. I realize he might want a largest place, but man, he's eager to do that. Next week we get to look at how much power does God have, how much ability does he have. And I think something I taught verse 320, I can't tell you how many times I saw it before I saw it, there's a qualifier in there. So this is the hors d'oeuvre. I think I got 5 more minutes, don't I? This is the hors d'oeuvre for tomorrow. This is something for you to think about. Because next week we're going to look at how limitless God's power is. Today we looked at how limitless his love is. So here's the question. A lot of people ask this question. If God's power is limitless and God's love is limitless, why am I still needy? Why isn't everything fixed? Interestingly, there are a couple of answers to that question. One of them is found right here in this verse, and I've missed it for years. It's the phrase, according to his power which is at work in us. Which means that the limitless God is only limited by how much I am allowing him to work in me. In Psalm 78, the psalmist said that he talks about the limitless God and how foolish God's people were. It says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. Demonstration after demonstration after demonstration, daily provision of God, and they bellyached and complained and felt like abandoned orphans. And they limited him simply because they didn't remember his power. God's people asked God, crying out one time, saying, God, why are we in this mess? Why don't you fix this? If you're this, you know, hot stuff God that, you know, has, you know, all power and blah, blah, blah. And if all the stories I've heard from my dad and my grandpa are really true about how you've acted, why is this stuff happening? And Isaiah said in 59, he said, God's not powerless. He's not deaf. Your sins have separated you from him. Unbelief, my sin, sometimes the reason that the limitless God is limited in my life is simply I'm fighting him. I'm not yielded to him. It's like constricting the channel through which the power flows, you know what I mean? Same power, it's just I get less of it. Because I've constricted that flow. So we'll talk about that next week. Good stuff in here, huh? Couple of questions just for you to consider. Are you more loving than God is? No, you're not. I pray that you will know in your own experience personally. If it means your cat has to escape and get skunked. By the way, this is how twisted evil nature is. My cat had ticks all over him too. So I spent all this time trying to get ticks off of him. You know what he's been doing the last 2 days? Sitting at the door, whining to get out. I got so mad. And the Lord said, Bob, that's you. He's just trying to protect us. My prayer is that you will know the love that surpasses knowledge. And however much you think you know God's love now, open your heart. Let him start up the bulldozer. If remodeling needs to happen, he's good at it. He knows just what to take down, what not to take down. I promise you, you're going to be like every other work of art that he does. It's going to be beautiful. I know you don't believe that anymore, and I believe it all the time. But it's the truth. Nature is God's resume. Look around you. Look around you today. See what good ideas he has. Peter and I were talking about microbiology. I love that I can talk to a young guy about microbiology. Just about how that testifies of the greatness of God. You have a big God, and he's not just big, he loves you like crazy, more than you can understand. I pray that you'll begin to grasp that. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I've got halfway through. And it's still bigger than me, and I am just so thankful, Lord, that you want us to know this too. Yeah, it'll take a while just because of me, my bullheadedness, but you are determined that we would know your love and that it would be the foundation of our lives. Some of us, Lord, I know that we've got other foundations we've been building on and they need to be torn down. Thank you for your kindness to me, Lord, in dismantling the trusting in Bob part of me. Thank you for what you're building in its place. Thank you for your complete reliability. Thank you that when I hear a story from Marilyn or Tim or Todd or one of our kids about how good you are and how you've showed that to them, it's the same Jesus. It's just a different person that you're showing yourself to. I pray, Lord, that you would keep doing that. Hold us close. I know we're going to need to hear it more than once. Thank you for repeating yourself. Look forward to next week and looking at your ability. All this we pray with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay and eat with us.